Hello, Quill, are you on the air?
How you doing?
Is this James?
Yep, this is James.
Hey, James, what's up, man? Let me give you the clap.
Okay.
James, my name is Vern, and my co-host's name is Slay, and we want to thank you for calling into the show, taking a couple minutes out of your day, man.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we sorry we couldn't get through, man. We had a young lady that is sponsoring a trip for all the young kids, black, white, green, purple. They're going to take them to see the Black Panther movie for free. So she wanted to get on the air put that out there. Yeah. James, let's start from the beginning, okay? I want you to do me a favor and just introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them who you are and just tell them a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to go into like a question-answer session, okay?
Okay, yeah. My name is James Rodgers. Grew up here in Detroit, Michigan. Played at the University of Michigan 4 years. Once I left there, I went to the Denver Broncos, spent the season there. Then after Denver Broncos, I went and played a year of arena football. After arena, I went back to the NFL, spent 2 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and another year with the Kansas City Chiefs. Then after that, I went over to Canada, and I spent 2 years over in Hamilton with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, my last two seasons of professional football.
Okay. So let's go back to the beginning, man. What or who introduced you to football when you was younger?
My father, he was a big advocate in my life growing up, especially with sports. I moved with my dad from my mom when I was 8 years old. In the first year, like within like 6 months of me being there, he just put the game of football onto me, and I just fell in love with it and ran away with it since then.
Okay, was you a one-sport guy? I mean, most of you football, NFL guys, like, were nice in, like, four sports and stuff like that.
Yeah. Actually, I was a four-sport all-state.
Stay what I say.
Four-sports, all-state, all four sports, football, basketball, baseball, and track.
So what made you stick with football? Because if you were all four, what was the thing about football that made you say, okay, this is what I want to do?
Well, baseball was the first sport I picked up as a young kid, but I don't know, football was just the one that just drove me the most. I mean, it was the one where I guess I felt like my talent just showed itself the most, and I mean, especially as a little kid, I mean, who don't want to hit somebody? So I mean, that was just the part that definitely, like, you know, that was intriguing to me, that made me want to play the game even more.
Growing up in Detroit, man, you know, nowadays we hear these stories about Detroit and, you know, how the no-fly zone and how Detroit is rugged and raw, and they don't play around out there. So what was the guidance that you had to keep you out of trouble so that you could stay focused, so you could continue to play these sports and do those things?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our city, we do have a very tough reputation. Obviously I was lucky enough for my father to pull me out of that situation, and by the time I was in elementary school, my dad moved my family out to the suburbs. So that definitely, like, you know, helped my, you know, I mean, my situation. But I have a lot of cousins and everything, and they're still in the city, and they definitely look towards me as the one that I was gonna be the one to make it out and take these sports to a whole nother level, and definitely be the one to represent our family. But yeah, I mean, it's a rough city. You can get caught up in the system real quick and real easily if you don't have your head on straight. And luckily, I have my father who wanted to make sure I kept the right path.
I'm going to do something, man, and this is kind of funny because we don't get a chance to do this, Slay. But I'm going to do what most people that's not from New York do to New Yorkers. So do you live or know where 8 Mile is? No, because it's crazy, because if you go away, like if you're a New Yorker and you go away, because New York is a state, not a city, so people be like, yo, you know Jay-Z? Like, just about as much as you do. Yeah. Like,
you know where Brooklyn is?
So
that's funny. Eight Mile is funny. Everybody, like, they talk about 8 Mile, but 8 Mile is the dividing point. So 8 Mile is what divides Detroit from the suburbs.
Okay.
So it's funny, like, in the movie, they tell, like, Eminem to go back across 8 Mile. So basically, they tell him, like, look, go back to the suburbs. That's what it is. But, so when I went off to college, my parents actually moved in the district that some of my younger siblings, they go to. actually go to the same school district that Eminem graduated from.
Oh, so you're from 8 Mile now?
Yeah, well, I ain't from 8 Mile.
Nah,
like,
nah, I'm already messing with you.
Yeah, hey, even though somebody crazy from 8 Mile, they're going to kind of laugh at you because 8 Mile is not a... You got to be below. So if you say anything below 8 Mile, that's when you get your credibility.
So being from Detroit, man, I did always want to ask this question, yo. Who was your favorite player or favorite football team growing up?
I mean, obviously, I was a Michigan Wolverine fan my whole life. Little league team I played for was the Wolverine. So person I idolized the most growing up was Charles Woodson.
Okay.
I mean, I wanted to be just like him. He played two positions, and honestly, when I got to college, I said I want to do the same thing, and I actually was able to do that in the playing receiver and DB. But then, obviously, also, my era was Barry Sanders.
Pretty sure
everybody knows he's one of the greatest running backs of all time. But, yeah, he's just another person that a lot of, like, youth in my city idolized just because of the things that he did in the football field that wasn't normal. So, soon after we got done watching the Sunday games, we out the yard trying to idolize the same move that he just made on the football field.
Yeah, that's dope. So, you said you was a Michigan fan all your life. So talk about being in high school, being good enough to be recruited by Michigan and to actually go to Michigan. What was it like then? Did you feel like, hey, I made it? You know, even though you had a long way in front of you, you know, still to go. But to be a Michigan fan from, you know, almost birth, you know, to actually get to go to that school and play, that had to be exciting.
Yeah, it was real surreal. I mean, the first offer that I got was from the University of Colorado. And then I started receiving a lot of the MAC schools, Toledo, Bowling Green, and those offers. And then that summer of my junior year of high school, I went to Michigan, and they had a smokehouse contest. So it's like, it's the fastest, man. And I won the smokehouse, like, no problem. Like, that's it. And Coach Roy Carr was the head coach at the time, and he pulled me up in his office. And I mean, like, right then and there, my hands were sweating. Like, I was nervous. Like, I 1997, my first year playing football was the first year that they won the national championship. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I followed them all the way through that whole time zone. And, yeah, I mean, it was unreal to sit there and talk to Lloyd Carr. And he offered me a scholarship. And, I mean, before I could even think about it, I was like, yes, I'll take it. Please.
Yeah, it's a done deal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You were undrafted, right?
Yeah, undrafted.
So talk about that. You know, you do your time at Michigan, and then you were undrafted. What is the course or what is the path that you had to take in order to get to the league? You said your first stop was Denver. So what was the path that you had to take?
Yeah, so through my college career, so I should go back to high school. So when I was recruited as a wide receiver. But my first day on campus at Michigan, they moved me to defensive back right away. So my freshman year, I played all defensive back. And then my sophomore year, we had got a new coach. That's when we had got Rich Rodriguez. And then they moved me back to wide receiver. So then I played wide receiver my whole junior year. Then I got hurt at the end of my sophomore year. Then I got hurt at the end of my sophomore year going to my junior year. So I missed most of that season. And I finished off my junior receiver. And then my senior, I ended up going right back to defensive back. So going through the NFL process, I was behind. I only had one full, like, year of actually playing defensive back at the University of Michigan. And I was kind of down on the chart compared to all other athletes in my class. I didn't have a lot of film or anything like that. So Denver, John Elway, actually was reaching out to me. They're the ones that gave me my first opportunity. And that was also the year of the lockout. So it was another tough time because there was no mini camps. So it wasn't like bringing in the rookies, we prepare first, and then the veterans would come in. I want everybody got there at the exact same time. So, the vets and the rookies, everything. So, I mean, you had to learn fast. And I got released probably midway, like last game before the regular season actually started. And then that's when I got the opportunity to go play arena football. And when I got to play arena football, that's actually when I felt like I actually got to sharpen myself up and get more comfortable into the DB position. And then right after that, I got the opportunity out in Tampa Bay, and I stuck around there for two seasons. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you, because you said you went to arena from Denver and then back to Tampa and then to Tampa Bay. I was going to say, did you feel discouraged at any point? Or did you just feel like because you had got hurt and because you had switched between positions that you just needed that time on the field and it would help you get better so you can be able to progress.
Because after Denver, I sat around for a couple of weeks, and I was obviously waiting. Hopefully another NFL team will call me and pick me up, but I didn't get no call. So my agent just suggested that I go play 1 year arena football. I had a lot of CFL teams calling me as well at that time, but my agent said, turn to CFL, I was locked in for two seasons. So that's what made us go the arena route. And after one season, and luckily this season, arena's not during the same time as NFL. It kind of goes through the end of spring to the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, I didn't miss any NFL season. So I got right after arena, I went that next NFL season started right away. So I was able to get a tryout right away. And the funny thing was, when I was arena football, I actually was on vacation. And my agent called me when I was on vacation, and he says, we have like three or four teams that want to try you out. And I told him, I was like, well, I'm in Tampa right now. I'm on vacation. He was like, well, that's even better because Tampa's one of the teams. I didn't have no clothes, no tryout equipment, no cleats, no gloves, no anything. They went to the facility at 9 o'clock that morning. They gave me some stuff. I impressed them anytime right there on the spot.
Oh, man, that must have been good, man. Oh, man. So tell me one of your most memorable moments being in the league.
Most memorable. I would say it was a couple different ones. So when I was in Denver, I got to play like under Champ Bailey and those guys.
Right.
He was. I think actually it might have been his last season, or it might have been the season right before his last. So it was kind of cool, you know. I mean, another guy idolized growing up in Washington, so being in the same locker room with him. And then right after that, when I actually went to Tampa, then I was in the locker room for the last season of Ronnie Barber.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I got to play with two guys that I idolized watching growing up, you know what I mean, my whole life. And actually being in the same locker room and, you know what I mean, considering the same profession as those guys, it was crazy.
What's the first thing you did with your paycheck, man? You got that paycheck. What's the first thing you bought, man? You bought one of them Detroit versus everybody shirts?
Nah, man, that wasn't popular yet. But I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty stupid with my first check. I'm not gonna lie, I went and spent a lot of money on a car, and I was almost ruined my whole check. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I know I'm gonna get another one next week. But I was pretty dumb with my first check. But after that, I learned some money management situations and doing pretty well for myself.
Oh, okay. Slay, you got any questions, Slay? Because I like him, man. You playing in the celebrity game, right?
Yep, I'll be there.
Oh, okay. Because I'm a coach. I'm a winning coach, bro. So I just want you to know that I'm three and oh, and Slay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Slay is he's on the other side. Now I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. I ain't gonna sugarcoat this at all. Any other event, Slay probably beats me 8 out of 10 times. But for some reason,
okay,
when the big light shine, I shine.
Mm-hmm.
So
I only coached 1 year, and that was last year.
No, you were the assistant coach.
And we got upset last year, but we coming back with a vengeance this year. So make sure you on the right side.
okay, yeah, that's what's up.
But what advice would you have for a young person that, you know, wants to play in the NFL or play at a higher level?
I'm a high school coach now, and the thing, when I first took over the position at the high school I'm at right now, a lot of the kids that I deal with, they got all the football potential in the world. I mean, I got kids that run 4.3s, 4.4s. I got a kid that bench pressed 225 20 times, but the thing that a lot of them don't realize is the academic aspect of it. I had to send probably about 4 or 5 of my athletes off to JUCO college this year just because of their grades alone, mm-hmm. and they easily have the potential to be playing D1. So mm-hmm. the thing that I would have to say, especially to a lot of the youth nowadays, and I know they probably hear it all the time, it's grades, but academic is very important. One thing you got to realize is there's 50 states just across the United States alone, and with that, there's probably 200-plus high schools in each one. So, I mean, there's somebody identical in another state do the exact same thing you do, but if that kid got a 3.2 and you sitting at a 1.2, that's going to make a big difference. So you have to take the academics very seriously, and that's something that a lot of college coaches are starting to look at even more nowadays.
That, I got to give you the clap for that, man. That's well said, and we both agree on that, so I got to give you the clap. Now we gotta ask this question, man. How do you know Rashad, man? Rashad is our guy, but how do you know Rashad? Give me a memory about Rashad. And make it good too, dog. Don't hold back.
So the funny thing was I met Rashad in arena football. We both played against him together. So he was kind of on the back end of his career. He had already played in the league for a couple of years, and this was my first year, you know, trying to get established. And first thing, when they brought him into camp, we had already been there for a few days. And then, man, we kind of competed at the same position. And I don't even know if you know this or not, but, like, it was so funny to me because, like, we competed at the same position, but it was like, it's like something that it's like an inside. I'll show you guys know the inside joke about like dark skinned brothers versus light skinned brothers.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, they brought this light skinned cat in. He's about to come in here and try to steal my position. But I was like, I can't let this happen. But nah, other than that, man, me and Rashad, we had a great relationship. He took me under his wing, man. He taught me so much stuff about the game that like obviously a lot of stuff that I didn't know. With me, like, you know, being younger to the cornerback position. And, to be honest with you, I got a lot to thank that man alone just for my career going as far as it did because he pushed me that much to make myself that much better of a cornerback, not just physically, but watching film and understanding routes and understanding techniques and all those type of things. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. I got to give you a clap for that, man. You know, Rashad's our guy. Slade's going to ask you a question he asks everybody, but let me give him a clap for that.
Yeah, man, I just want to know, what was your first reaction when you saw his head? Like, when you saw the size of his head, was you, like, shocked? Was you like, man, we don't got stuff like that in the D? Like,
that's so funny. I tell you what, he did, especially when at that time, you know, he was still kind of younger, so he did a good job of hiding, man. He had a lot of fitness that he was
Yeah, he was size 13 hat.
You said 13, Slay? You're wrong, Slay. You shouldn't do that, man. Yo, James, man, anything you want to say, man? Any shout-outs you want to give or anything like that?
Nah, man, I appreciate the call, and I look forward to seeing you guys in New York and definitely trying to see what the city's about.
Yeah, you're a great interview, man. And listen, anytime, man, if you got anything going on, we got listeners in Detroit. We got family out there, man. Mm-hmm. We mess with the 313.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, we do. So because we stream live. So anytime you're doing anything, you want to, you know, give a little shout-out, just give us a call, man. You could always get on the air and let it be known. And like I said, I am a winning coach, man. My stats are heavy, man. Heavy.
Be ready for the payback, the big payback.
And I let you play, dog. I let you go on. Just give me a win. Last year.
All right, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys having me too, fellas.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks for the call.
Yep. All right.
All right. Later.